This week in Your Parents' Basement, we're doing our best to avoid dying from dysentery. From 1971, 1978, and 1995, we're playing what might be the only fun educational game, the Oregon Trail 1 and the Oregon Trail 2. I'm Steve Greenwell, and with me is my regular co-host, Huell Hauser.
The merchants here in town offer basic packages of supplies based on the size of one's party and estimated length of your journey.
Oh, how factual. And our other co-host is Todd Brisket.
It don't look too bad to me. I say we just keep going forward.
As always, you can reach us by email, parentsbasementpodcast@gmail.com. You can also retweet us on the Twitters or like our Facebook page. Please subscribe to the show on iTunes and be sure to give us some stars. And finally, you can also support the show by purchasing goods on Amazon. For the click-through link and other tidbits, visit our website, www.ypbpodcast.com. Today's game is the Oregon Trail 1 from 1971 and 1978, and the Oregon Trail 2 from 1995. Back in the day, school computers were rough. There was no internet, crappy 4 and 16-bit color monitors, and underpowered machines, so it basically cut off the option to play any decent games, save one decent educational series. The Oregon Trail. The original game debuted in 1971 as a program for a high school history class. It was updated by its creator, Don Rotsich, and re-released in 1974. This is the version most people are familiar with, well, the one from 1978, which is for the Apple II, and that's also a kind of re-release, re-updated. It has color graphics, that kind of thing. The original was followed by a proper sequel, The Oregon Trail 2, in 1995. But from 78 to 2012, there was a slew of remakes, updates, and re-releases, basically on pretty much any format you would want to play the game on, but especially games, systems that are geared towards younger gamers, the Wii, the PC, those kind of things.
The little kiddie systems.
Yeah, exactly.
The baby toys.
Casual gamers. You can also get it on your cell phone, and nowadays it's also available for free on the internet. Huell, this game was your nomination, so why don't you start the discussion off for us?
Well, I felt like things on the podcast have gotten a little too silly, a little too out of control. I think we needed to get a little grounded with an educational game to really appreciate the history of this country and the struggles of our forefathers in expanding the West. So I felt it was time to just sit down and focus on Oregon Trail. This was a game I had played as a Ute originally. Mostly I had played the second one, but I think everyone has played the first one in school, like you said. Mm-hmm. Or any school that had an Apple II. But the second one... actually got and owned, and I played the hell out of it.
Wow.
Because it is just fun to bring your friends along and kill them in all sorts of different horrible ways.
Now, you feel in this game, everybody, whenever they play it, they name their companions, people they know.
Yeah.
But you don't directly kill them. You can kind of indirectly kill them. For example, poor baby Steve on my Oregon train, he got bit by a rattlesnake.
Oh,
pretty much within the first month.
But I'm okay, and, right? I made it.
What happened was I completely ignored it and I pushed on and he died.
Pappy Brisket, why did you two do that to me?
Why? Who else joined you on your journey there, Todd?
Oh, in my journey, I also had baby Huell. He was he's a strapping 16-year-old.
Oh,
I had Mrs. Todd, smoking hot 30-year-old, and I also had baby Emilio, Baby Emilio. He was 10 years old.
Little Emilio.
Over the course of our journey, we set out from Independence, Nebraska or Illinois or something like that. I just know it's called Independence. We left Independence because we weren't free enough. We set our sights on Salt Lake. We wanted to practice our demonic religion of Mormonism on our own terms. They didn't like us in Independence. They didn't like our family, the way we lived. So we set off to live a new life. Over the course of the journey, Mrs. Todd got bit by a snake and died.
Oh, no.
Stephen Greenwell got bit by a snake and died.
Oh.
And finally, when we settled in Salt Lake to start a new life, the way God intended, it was Todd at a ripe age of 35 and Baby Huel, the strapping young buck, 16-year-old, grew up into an 18-year-old gentleman.
Of course.
And Baby Emilio was 12 years old. And we started our new life together.
Ah, oh, that sounds like quite the family unit. But wait, your journey took more than a year?
I don't know. Let me see.
You went from 16 to 18? That seems very convenient, Mr.
Jackson. We took a lot of resting stops on our trip.
A whole lot of rest.
Got some blisters on my feet.
you knocked the pace down from grueling to just that first level right there.
Mm-hmm. You celebrated the fourth a little too hard.
Yeah.
Recovered a few days.
The fourth was so great, you decided to just wait till Cinco de Mayo the next year to set off again properly.
I must say, this is the deepest RPG we've played yet.
Thank you.
In the history.
Finally, some appreciation.
Of the YPB. This is the deepest and most thorough RPG.
Absolutely.
This is like Dungeons and Dragons with rattlesnakes.
Did you know there's actually skill points that you can assign?
There are. You get skill points, yep. Mm-hmm. They help you. Like, you can be a medicine man.
Of course. You can repair your wagon. You can be a cook, a huntress.
A huntress, yes.
Yes. if you so choose.
That's one thing, real quick. I don't know when Oregon Trail 1. I only played, for this episode, I only played Oregon Trail, which came out in 95, I guess. In that one, you cannot pick your gender. Everybody is gender neutral. All you do is type a name.
Yep.
Yeah. But there is a name and an age, but there are pictures that come along with each travesty that decide to assign a gender to.
Yeah.
But that's about it.
Oh, like when someone dies?
No, then they're just in the ground, so you're not sure what a... Not sure what gender they are. You can't see them under the dirt.
Oh, what do you mean travesty? Like when they get cholera?
Catching a cold.
When they
getting a concussion.
When they get bit by a rattlesnake.
Like, that's actually a picture of a snake.
Yeah, the picture of a snake.
In case you didn't know what a snake looked like.
Like constantly, just
all the time.
Snake after snake after. Just the apparently
endless snakes.
Yeah, the only thing they had more of than snake were buffalo. Apparently.
And dust and fog.
Yeah.
And lots of fog.
And no grass and no water for my oxen.
Exactly.
Hugh, why don't you share a little bit about your journey before we get to my journey?
Okay. So we started, I believe I also started in Independence. I don't think I changed the default there. But I brought along, of course, Mr. Todd Brisket.
Oh.
Brought along Mr. Stephen Greenwell.
Oh.
Brought along Scooter Butt 42.
Oh, Scooty.
And I brought Butterscoot 24. So I decided they were worthy enough to join us to start our new lives.
Very nice of you. I know Scooter Butt's been looking for a new life.
Yeah, I figured they would appreciate it. So yeah, I thought Scooter Butt's survival skills might have helped us along the way. But unfortunately, Scooter Butt got a cold.
Oh, no.
But then he, after doing nothing, just traveling on the trail, he just got a concussion. I don't know what he was doing.
Maybe he was playing football.
And then he died.
From his concussion?
Apparently, yes.
Hmm.
I chose to keep the patient active. I think that's kind of what you have to do, right? So they don't slip into a coma and die. Is that correct? The guidebook, which is actually very useful, had no advice for a concussion. So I just went with my instincts.
The documentation on this game is somewhat lacking at times.
I disagree.
It's both lacking and overwhelming at the same time.
Yeah, there's too much information, actually.
Yeah, well, it's information that does not really help you play the game.
It's like reading a history book.
Yeah.
It doesn't really tell you, like, oh, if you have a snake bite, you have a 10% chance of survival if you do a tourniquet, or a 20% chance if you put some antiseptic
suck that venom out.
Suck that out. Suck that juice out of there.
Yeah, it's like, I don't need to know the history of the Snake River. Just tell me how to stop, like, stop the snake venom from killing my people.
Snake River. Or at least tell me how not to drown.
Oh my god, the drowning. Like, it tells you the differences between, like, fording and chalking the river.
Caulking?
Caulking?
I was never really sure about that.
I wasn't either.
Chalk?
I don't think there's an H. Where's the H?
It's spelled like caulk, so I don't know where chalk comes into play.
Maybe it is caulking, because you're sealing up your,
it up with caulk and floating.
Yeah. But it didn't tell me really the difference about that. I had some troubles with that.
Yeah, all I know is no matter which one I chose, every single time, a wagon tipped over.
Oh, no.
It doesn't matter if I forded. I usually check, like, is the river 2 feet or less, then I would ford it. If it was higher than 2 feet, I would caulk it, but the wagon tipped every time.
The helpful guide, the cutoff is 2.5 feet. So maybe you were in that weird middle zone where wagons would just capsize immediately if it was 2.5 feet.
I did not come across a single river that was less than 2.5 feet. So,
really? What the hell path were you taking?
Well, maybe it was because of the time of the year. I left in May.
Oh, you left too late.
I left too late? The game.
Oh, yeah.
The game.
You gotta kick it off in winter, man. So you hit so you're in the middle of the trail when it's in the good season.
Mm-hmm. What a noob.
Wait, why would you want to be traveling in the winter?
You got to leave in April, because then you have
supplies. Yeah, you leave at the tail end of winter, so that once you actually start running out of supplies, it's not like a frozen wasteland. You can hunt some food and gather some herb.
And the closer you get, it's like September. Because I went to Oregon. I did the classic going to Oregon City. And by the time you get there, it's like September. And if you wait too long, it'll be cold again.
No, I made it. I left May 1st, and I got to Oregon in September as well. So, well,
I guess you were really running them oxen.
Well, I set the pace on the middle pace. And the other aspect is I played it on the easiest setting because.
You played Greenhorn, you freak.
What a weirdo.
What are you, man?
I was doing my best to protect all my sweet baby boys.
How many of us died? Who'd you bring?
I wanted all of you to make it. I set it on the easiest setting, which gave me $1,600. I loaded up the wagon with food, with 2,000 pounds of food. With 20 oxen, we were raring to go. 10 sets of clothing, some ammo.
2,000 pounds of food.
4 days in, Brisket got cholera.
That happens, yeah.
And then 9 days in, he died fording the river.
Oh, all that preparation.
At least I didn't die from cholera.
that's certainly the way to look at it. The other people... I mean, it barely even feels like Brisket traveled with us.
Clearly,
the other people coming along on the journey were Huel, were a friend of the show Pippins, and a friend of the show Paul Pascal's Pager.
Oh yeah,
our multi guest appearances.
I feel like this was almost like, you know, the Rapture or something, and I wanted to take the most worthy people with us.
That makes sense.
With apologies to people like Dale and DJ and Jackie and Cosmo, who who had made some appearances. Sorry, it's only a 5-person arc.
It's true.
Yeah, we need to pack this thing full of sausage.
Yeah,
we all had some big sausage fests.
Just bros, except for Todd, and then
yeah, Mrs. Todd, who died off pretty quick.
Yeah, well,
that's why you don't bring women. They're just so weak. Quick to die and weak.
Just weak. They can't stand the trail.
You give them a little bit of equality. Like, hey, all right, you can drive your own wagon. What do? They tip it over like 10 times in a river.
Well, I mean, maybe you shouldn't have let her drive. Why'd you do that?
Of all times to let her drive when you're fording the river. Come on.
Yeah. Well, just to continue in my little diary here, on May 18th, Pippins was bitten by a snake.
As one does.
But he recovered. May 24th, Huel, you got a fever. Cowbell.
Trail fever.
Cowbell did not cure it. And also on June 2nd, a snake bite also did not cure it.
Ooh. Quite the combo.
Yes. But it's okay. You managed to survive those scares.
Ooh.
July 23rd.
Until?
July 23rd. Pippins broke his arm. You were fine. I mean, maybe.
He was just, Pippin's just going too hard, wasn't he?
Yeah, maybe you broke his arm. The game did not elaborate how Pippin's broke his arm.
I had to distract the snakes. broke his arm and left him for dead.
Yeah. go bite this screaming guy over here. Yeah.
They do follow sound vibrations.
Yeah. Well, clearly, there were some complications because 10 short days later, Pippin's got sick and died.
No. Got sick? Like with what?
It didn't say. It just said Pippin's...
Broken bonitis.
It just said Pippin's has an illness and passed away. It did not specify whether he had cholera.
That's code for AIDS.
Oh, no.
Yeah, they didn't have a name for it back then.
Well, I'd like to point out that nobody else in the wagon got AIDS, so he was stepping out. I didn't stop any time except to hunt.
Ooh.
And apparently, Pippins was hunting for something else.
Well, there are usually other wagons, you know, yeah, on the trail with you. So,
you know,
who knows what could have happened.
I was hunting mostly for buffalo. Pippins was hunting for beaver. It sounds like,
or snakes.
Oh, yeah. Well, by the way, speaking of hunting for snakes, on August 24th, Huel, you found another one.
Oh,
you got snake bitten twice on this expedition.
No one else's arm to break, I guess.
Nope. But after that, things did calm down. September 14th, we made it to Oregon.
Fantastic.
After going down that river at the end, we managed to.
Oh, did you rafted the Columbia?
Yeah, because unfortunately, I did not have enough money to just pay the toll.
The toll was 50 cents.
I didn't have it.
Wow.
Listen, so
what the hell did you do?
Penny on bacon.
I spent
that 2,000 pounds of food. Really had to.
Yeah, after spending, I did end up with way too much food left over. Like I had like, I had like 800 pounds.
Could have traded it.
I had 800 pounds of food at the end of the game, and that was like I only stopped to hunt like once or twice.
Oh my god.
Before we fired up the pod, I did start a second gameplay where I went on the other end of the spectrum, and I was playing as a teacher who gets no benefits. Like even the farmer gets $400, and then I was playing the deluxe edition. The farmer gets a benefit that the oxen don't get sick as much.
Mm.
But I was playing as a teacher, which just gets $400 and no passive boost. You just get three times the score at the end if you can manage to make it to Oregon.
Well, we all know they don't have any real skill. That's why they're teaching.
Oh, well, if you can't do, teach.
There it is.
So at the end, I managed to make it a couple hundred miles before we had to fire up the pod tonight. it's weird. This game is an educational game, but it kind of has the elements of like a rogue game.
It is a roguelike. Yeah.
What do you mean by that?
It's roguelike with kind of an ending to it. It has a goal.
Roguelikes are games like Faster Than Light, like games that have kind
Okay.
of normally randomly generated dungeons or scenes.
Yeah, that's definitely the feeling here.
Yeah,
Because you just don't know what's going to happen.
oh, absolutely. Like I said, I played the banker, which gets $1,600, which basically means you can buy out the store at the beginning of the game.
Yeah.
And it does not help because you're still at the mercy of, I guess, the game's random number generator, just in terms of how you're going to get sick and that kind of thing.
Right. Speaking of buying out the store, I think my favorite aspect of this game is you can buy a gallon of whiskey for 30 cents.
Well, that's
very, very useful.
That doesn't sound very responsible of you.
What?
What about poor Scooter Bud?
You got to keep spirits up.
Yeah.
On the trail.
If morale slips, I mean, anything could happen.
You know, a wise man once said that alcohol is the problem and solution to all of life's problems.
Yes.
All you got to do is pump a couple shots into Ornery Jim over there in the other wagon, and the morale will stay up. You can keep pushing harder.
I also made sure to buy a banjo and a harmonica for just these occasions.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, I didn't really finish my journey. So Scooter Butt died of his concussion that was, we don't know the cause of. Journeying on Butterscoot, also got a cold and died from that, no matter how many fluids I gave him.
Oh, yeah.
I managed to continue on. I only failed at fording once. Apparently, I got either a lucky game or I'm great at reading those river conditions. I'm not sure which. But I did tip the wagon 3 times trying to climb hills. That was a lot trickier.
Yeah. What's weird about those hills is that you get a few options. It's either like just continue on per normal, double pace or something like that.
Yeah, double
double
team.
Down, double team.
Double team the animals.
Use your ropes and chains and pull the wagons up. every option I used failed except for just pushing on per normal. Every time I used that one, it worked.
I guess if it's like not steep, I guess you can just go on like normal. But like a lot of them are very steep. So I'm not sure why.
I could not get 2 to work on my computer. So I will say, anyone curious, Todd Brisket played this game for his Twitch account.
Ah, yes.
And
yes.
I will try to remember to post a link to that video.
Post a link to the YouTube, because the Twitch expires.
Okay. In fact, I will post a link. I promise you, folks.
Oh my.
It looks like the second game. I have a lot of experience with the first game, which has kind of simplified options for all the things you guys are talking about. For the most part, instead of giving you the option to go through rough trail and to like, you know, go up mountains, that kind of thing, it'll just present you with like a roadblock and you can't do anything. Like, you just have to sit there and
wait it out.
Yeah. There's times where the trail will get obstructed in two, and you can exhaust all your options and you just have to wait for someone to come and
wait,
clear
wait
it for you.
Wait for those rocks to get out of the way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Wait for those rocks to move. An earthquake, maybe.
Yeah. And there's, that happens quite a bit in the first game. And also, like I was saying about how the in-game help is sometimes not really good when it comes to telling you about the game itself. Like there were situations that would pop up like, oh, there's no water, or, oh, the oxen need grass. And it's kind of like, well, what can I do about this? Like,
I think you're just kind of SOL until you get to a river.
I guess, but it's also, the game doesn't tell you like how this is affecting your characters. Unlike kind of a more traditional video game, it doesn't have, there's no life meters or anything like that. So
maybe in the deluxe edition, but there is health statuses for your party in Oregon Trail 2.
Oh, there, it gives general health statuses. I think it's poor, average, and good.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good.
Feeling good.
Feeling bad.
I got a boo-boo. I found that they did not especially help that much, though, because someone could just, I had, well, obviously Brisket got cholera and also he just drowned. So it didn't matter what health condition he was in. And the same thing with, Pippins just was kind of okay before breaking his arm, and then he got sick and he died. Like, all that happened within a week for poor Pips.
The disease what took me was named enteritis.
Huel, you survived in my game. You're gonna have to console the Lady Cosma.
Ah, good. Good. I'm sorry. Pippin's died.
You're gonna have to move back to Nebraska to take care of her.
She could just come move in with us.
Well,
But
listen,
I don't know if she's going to make it.
five sturdy men set out for Oregon, and only three of us made it. I don't think she's gonna be able to afford it. Maybe if she sells enough at her lemonade stand to make the way over,
We
but
already know Cosmo's a better person than all of us, so.
so what are the percentages of us that made it across? So in my group, I had three out
Oh,
of five
yeah.
make it.
I didn't finish. Teeb, you also got a concussion from doing nothing. The wagon didn't tip or anything. But you seem to be okay until you got bit by a snake and died. So it was down to me and Greenwell. I was maybe like two screens away from Oregon. Because then in the map you have a whole screen of a map and you see your little red trail journeying across. And then you got a cold. And I was really worried that I'd have to set off on my lonesome, but you recovered finally, and we both made it to Oregon.
Oh,
Right,
thank
so
God.
two out of five made it for you,
Yeah,
right?
for me. Yeah, bringing five total. And if I can, I did save my epilogue. It does not talk about you, Stephen Greenwell. I'm sorry.
Oh.
But I established a small business that proved more stable and satisfying than my previous life. And a number of prominent names in Oregon and Washington history, politics, and society have been numbered among my descendants,
Oh.
including a state governor, a senator, and the multimillionaire founder of a company that has become one of the nation's largest manufacturers of aerospace technology.
Oh.
So imagine if I'd never decided that day to just set off for Oregon, we would not have NASA.
I mean, I maybe not Boeing.
Yeah.
You could have been Boeing, Huel
The
Boeing.
International Space Station might not even exist.
I mean, does it now? I feel like,
They could have just made it up.
yeah. I feel like they're up there and they're doing stuff, but I'm not sure what they're doing. They're not, we need to get back to walking on moons.
We need the ground under our feet.
Yeah, man. We need to hang some more flags up there.
So yeah, two, including myself, two out of five survived for me.
Okay.
So what about you?
Mine was three out of five. Steven, how many people, as far as you played, how many people were there?
Mine was three out of five as well.
Okay, so we're looking at about a little bit, we're like 60% overall. 60% survived. Here's a little history lesson for you folks. In total, 400,000 people traveled the Oregon Trail between 1834 to 1868. So that's 400,000 people. The number of people that died is estimated at 9,400 to 21,000, which is a much smaller percent than 60. So we had 40% death, and this one had, I don't know how to do math, but that's like 10% death. So we are
Oh,
much worse than real life.
yeah.
You said 400,000 people
Made
traveled
it. Yeah.
and 900, 9,100
And
died.
right.
Yeah, that's about 2%.
Yeah, so
Not 20.
we are horrible wagoneers on the trail, according to
Yeah.
history.
I would say so. Yeah, but did they have as many snakes? I feel like there weren't as many
I
snakes.
don't know. Yeah. I
Yeah.
think maybe the first group that went off kind of killed off all the snakes and then the rest just
Yeah.
cruised through.
All the snakes got fat from eating everyone that died on our journeys and then exploded from obesity, and that killed everyone. And then the rest of them could just go right through.
Yeah, I think that's how it's working. They're killing themselves now with vice in that area. with those heathens in Vegas.
All the car guy.
Yeah.
The hell was I saying?
I mean,
oh, so did you ever encounter strangers on the trail?
I never did. No.
Ooh, it's a fun screen.
Do they offer you candy?
Sometimes, because you have a few options. You can approach them, or like kind of wait and see what they do. So I waited to see, and unfortunately, they just walked away. But there are also sometimes abandoned wagons. I don't know if you ever found those.
Yes, yep. I found two of those. Yes,
you can search them for goodies.
I don't know why you would not search unless you find like a booby trap. I don't think there are any.
Right, like a skull
on the Oregon Trail.
Right.
You find
maybe those, it's filled with those rattlesnakes.
Maybe that's what happens.
A wagon filled with rattlesnakes.
Oh no! There's a Keiko demon in there. There's an imp.
But yeah, I'm wondering also when. So you bring clothes for everyone, but then when the wagon tips over, sometimes you lose those clothes. Mm-hmm. So like, what were we not wearing them? I don't.
Yeah, those are you bring.
I'm not
changes
sure.
Of
I
clothes.
Guess they're
those
spares. Oh, okay. Yeah. Interesting.
The game recommends that you bring two pairs of clothing for each person.
Yeah.
So I take it to mean that, you know, when it's winter time, that's when the game says you need it. You need to be triple layered, I guess. Or just changing your clothes regularly.
Yep, you are on the trail for 6 or 7 months, so probably changing your clothes would be a good idea.
I feel like they had to be more lax about this in the 1800s.
I would say so, but I still think 6 months is a long time. And that they would still be changing their clothes.
Well, you know, maybe just not as manly as some of these people on the trail.
Ugh, such a wiener.
I will say, on my second playthrough, I was kind of trying to treat this as like an actual rogue game instead of like an educational game. And playing through it now as an adult, as opposed to like as opposed to. You know, I think I played this between the ages of 7 and 13 in various computing classes. You can definitely plot out ways to succeed with the harder starting points. Like basically you can get a couple boxes of ammo. If you get ammo, you don't really have to buy food at all because it's very easy to hunt in this game.
Mm-hmm.
And you can kind of use that to parlay. You can hunt to get meat, and then you can trade the meat to get some of the other items that you need. So on my second run through, really the things I bought were oxen because it's, you know, the oxen control how fast
you kind of have to, yeah.
Yeah, and I definitely bought one of each of the wagon backups. So
right.
So far so good.
Good. I hope you make it.
I'll have to let people know how I make out on the blog. It's cliffhanger. maybe Brisket will survive this time.
Mm-hmm.
He'll get to see that great western coast of America. Be able to plot his land.
So I did have, like I said, I do still own the CD.
Oh.
It does still work, apparently, in Windows 7. So I had... Like I said, I played it as a child and got so educated and bursting with knowledge on the Old West. But I rediscovered it again in college. My girlfriend and I played it a bunch just to see what all our friends did and what diseases we could give them. And something we discovered that when someone dies, you have the option to provide a proper burial or to just move on.
Mm-hmm.
We discovered if we did not provide a proper burial. I don't know if this is built into the game or if this is just bad luck, but we seem to be cursed by their ghost and
really?
Had all sorts of awful things happen much more frequently.
Really?
So it seemed to be every time that you do not provide a proper burial, you are riddled with a jinx of some kind. And we just died like very soon after that from a series of unfortunate accidents.
Mm-hmm.
So
well, I heeded the warnings when members of my group died.
Yeah, almost every single thing you do, you can ask advice from just these random strangers that you're traveling with.
I must say that all these strangers in our wagon train, it was very multicultural.
It really was. Surprisingly multicultural.
Surprisingly multicultural.
Yes. And I did not appreciate their cold, unblinking faces that stared at you while their mouths moved to give you this advice. It's very disturbing.
I will say I'm kind of surprised. I just did a quick search on it. Like, no one has really cracked the algorithms for the Oregon Trail game, like, to determine, like, oh, how do certain things happen?
Just like frequencies and stuff like that.
Yeah, exactly. Because it wouldn't surprise me, Huel, if they did build into the game that if you don't give your people proper burial, then I had trouble. If you don't have a funeral for your dead people, then it wouldn't surprise me if it does, you know, change the luck. If it does
ramp up mm-hmm. the occurrences,
all the snakes come out.
Yeah, kind of like an unofficial morality kind of thing.
Right. Yeah, I'm just speaking from experience. I don't know if it's true or not. Mm-hmm. It's just what it felt like.
Why did you and your horrible girlfriend not have proper ceremonies for your dead comrades?
I think the person we brought, we didn't really like. we just moved on. We're like, who cares?
Yeah, we just needed someone who could pony up $20 for an oxen.
Yeah. They had a spare wagon wheel, so we said, all right, come on.
I mean, they were kind of vague on what you did in Oregon, weren't they?
Me?
Yeah.
Yeah.
For my ending?
Well, how would you be able to start a business? Like, oh, here's my leftover 400 pounds of bacon fat.
He's an exorcist for all the ghosts following.
Really? Yeah.
Oh, hey, do you guys want some clothes? I have 7 pairs left.
Do you guys not provide a proper burial? Because I can help you get rid of those ghosts.
Oh, you guys don't need that because you also crossed the trail here and you already have all that stuff. Oh, that's cool, man. Never mind. All right.
But speaking of death, it is convenient sometimes that, like, say, like, you can't get up a hill and you have to lighten your wagon load. Like, once 2 people die, you can just get rid of their extra clothes.
Yeah.
Like, well, I don't need all these utensils and clothing. I mean,
yeah, and also, you know, more food to go around.
Yeah.
With less mouths to feed.
It's a lot easier.
Oh, yeah, and I think you do go quicker with less people.
You zip a little faster.
Zip on
down the trail.
Yeah. Speaking of going down the trail or going down or up the river, I couldn't even tell. That last, did either of you decide to play that river minigame?
No, I don't even know what you're talking about.
Well, you went to Salt Lake City like a...
Yes, I did, like a true Mormon. God told me.
But I did save the game before that, and I will admit that I died rafting the Columbia, so I just reloaded it and took the toll road.
It is tough, man.
It's impossible. Because I was only using a trackpad, so I'm like, there's no way. Like, you need a mouse to control that thing. An actual mouse.
All right, so the deluxe edition is the only... Just when I was playing it for the show, that is the only time I've ever successfully been able to do it. The deluxe edition kind of makes it actually okay to do. Like, it ramps the speed way down. Whereas... I played this game, like, I don't know, on an Apple II way back in the day or one of those old systems. And right. Even on that, like, it is so tough to avoid all the goddamn rocks in that river.
Yeah, there's rocks and whirlpools and other water hazards that don't even look like they would ever mm-hmm. even exist.
Like sharks?
They're like fountains that, like, are shooting up out of... It's like, there's no river does this.
Yeah.
They made it unnecessarily hard.
Yeah, and the game, one frustrating aspect is it does not really give you many options for like diverting from the path. Especially with the first game, there are, I think there's maybe four or five different spokes, but they all kind of connect back at the same spot eventually. Like for the most part, if you're given a choice where to go, it's, oh, you can go to Fort Snake where you can load up on some new supplies, or you can take the shortcut through the mountain. So basically, you can go out of your way 50 miles to buy supplies if you need to, or you can just keep going.
Right. Some of them also are like, oh, you can go on this trail over the Snake River, which you have to ford the river three times, but it's faster than going the long way around.
Right.
Yeah.
If you trust your fording skills, it might
This,
be better.
I feel like this game does seem to reward patience better than trying to shortcut, though, at least in my
Bravado.
experience.
Not if you're trying to get the high score.
Well, I'm just trying to protect my sweet baby boys, Brisket. I'm sorry.
That does get you a higher score.
I'm sorry that you had to die so that the rest of us could live, Brisket. But we appreciate your sacrifice, and also you were delicious.
That's where all that food came from.
Yeah, we did eat you.
Did you turn me into bacon?
No,
Couple
no.
more 100 pounds of bacon.
Listen, I don't want to get too into it, but we were very diverse culturally, so we had sashimi.
Oh yeah.
I
Bit of
mean,
wasabi.
I mean, just to be clear, we had hundreds of pounds of food. We ended up with food left over, but
That is true. Oh, 800 pounds, if I recall.
we still
Still, I
ate.
mean,
We
you can
still ate.
save some time. Instead of providing a proper burial, just take that meal to go.
Box it up.
Yeah, man. Just we'll carry you in our tummies forever. That's what we did, man. You're in Oregon with us, buddy.
Yes.
Yeah, you did make it. You really did.
Yeah. Oh, good for us. By the way, I did not check it because I was trying to focus on playing the game, but there is in an entry in the in-game index on the Donner Party.
Yes, I saw
Oh,
that. Yeah,
you
I think
see?
you actually go through the Donner Pass.
Oh boy. This is a good
Apt,
game.
aptly named. They must have left too late.
I mean, this is a game aimed at children, but there's a surprising amount of death and other fun stuff.
It's aimed at children, but think about the huge nerds that would actually read the guidebook.
Yeah.
They're practically adults. They're probably reading like Lord of the Rings.
I
Harry
mean,
Potters.
yeah.
And the Harry Potters.
They're not reading highlights for kids.
No.
They
Is
already
there highlights not for kids?
They're above
no.
finding those hidden pictures in highlights.
There is like a, I don't know if it still exists, but there was like a younger highlights magazine. I know because I got
Oh,
highlights.
it actually I do get that the highlights. I forget what it's called. It's like called Highlights Junior or something like that for Todd Junior. He gets that one. It's actually pretty good. It's like a free little book every not free, but it was a gifted subscription. But it's just a
I
little
see.
book every month, little activities for him. And we
Oh.
also get there's another level below this called Highlights Hello, and that is like a 5-page baby version of it.
Highlights infant.
Yes.
Oh, see, do they still have a good old Goofus and Gallant?
Not that I've seen.
Oh, well, that's disappointing.
Useless.
Not in the baby version, at least, in the junior version.
How's he supposed to know how to behave?
Yeah, come on, man. Obviously, he's not gonna get strong moral guidance from anyone who would appear on this show. So,
Yeah. It's
gotta,
too bad.
yeah, gotta get him some more Gallant. Where all Goofus is on this broadcast?
That's why I picked this game. We had to educate ourselves.
Yeah,
this is,
we know everything about Oregon.
Explains a lot why I don't know much about Oregon at all, or its amazing trails with rattlesnakes, is because I didn't play this game too much as a young Toddito. I probably played it like once in some computer lab somewhere, but this my time in the age of elementary school is kind of in a no man's land between Oregon Trail 1, which came out, like the good version came out in 78, and Oregon Trail 2, which was 95, 96. I grew up a Carmen Sandiego kid.
Oh, that is a strong, strong suggestion. I will say, though, like, we had Carmen Sandiego at my parents' house. I don't think I ever saw it in a classroom. But then again, like, my high school and middle school was not exactly on the cutting edge. So, like, I learned to type in a typewriter class.
Oh, wow.
In the year 2000.
Yeah, I at least had a Mavis Beacon typing.
Oh, yeah, I remember that when we finally did get to computer class. Computer class, by the way, was also just typing. Like, that's...
Yeah, it was typing class.
Yeah, like, you did not learn how to use a computer, really. So, oh, God. I wonder if kids still have to waste their time in classes like that. Whereas, like, I feel like now that everyone has essentially a computer on them at all times in the form of a cell phone, that people just must be better at that kind of stuff now.
That's
a good question.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, there might be, it might be like a week long course in some class where they teach you like how you should properly type, because, you know, you're supposed to keep your index finger on the F key and your other index finger on the J key and type like that. So just to make sure that the kids don't hunt and peck their letters.
Yeah. Oh my God, that was an entire thing in high school. Like, I got a credit for typing. Ah, you kids don't know how good you got it now. We did talk to text.
Mm-hmm.
Anyways, Huel, did you have anything else you wanted to share about the old trail here?
Well, I have the on the back of the CD case, we find the educational benefits, which are to relive a period in time that changed the United States forever.
Mm-hmm.
We learn about the geography of the Old West. And we can also capture your experiences and improve writing skills with the built-in journal.
Check and check.
Yep. So I feel like we've all done those things.
I'm a better person for having played this game.
Yes, I agree.
Oh, it's so wonderful. I'm glad this has brought us all together, even though some of us died in the process.
Yes, unfortunate.
Well, Mr. Brisket, did you have anything else you wanted to add or say about the trail here?
No. It was a pleasure playing this game. I love the deep RPG roguelike aspects of this classical game. Yeah, it was a good one. I recommend it to everybody that wants to play a weird game with creepy people talking at you with their mouth moving and no other part of their body moving.
Mm.
I that did freak me out about your Twitch videos. Like, that was like in that weird, I don't know, that weird era of time when they did not quite have the motion capturing down in the graphics and the audio kind of sync.
I, for one, would only recommend it to those ages 10 to adult.
Hmm. Oh, good times. All right. Did either one of you have anything else to add about the trail, or should we move on here?
It's about move on time.
Let's hit on down our own trails here.
Now, Brisket, I understand that You had something you wanted to bring up before we get to the emails tonight?
Sure. Fellas, be prepared. It's time for America's fastest growing game show of the past 30 minutes.
Oh no.
A Bobo Adobo. That's right. It's the game where Steve and Huel work together to determine whether the word I am saying is a classic video game character or a delicious Filipino dish.
Oh, I'm so excited. Do we compete or
you're working together on this one?
Oh, okay. So we're a team.
We'll just do 10 words today.
Oh, Jesus.
This should move pretty quick.
Okay.
The first food or character is Bazak.
Oh, Jesus.
I'm going to go with character, Steven.
I agree with you. Let's go character.
Well, you know, the Bazak Draconian with the magical ability are some of the most dangerous foes you will encounter in Advanced Dungeons & Dragons, Heroes of the Lance for the NES.
All right.
Oh, it's so nice of you to start us off with a classic there.
Mm-hmm. Number two, Kare Kare.
This could go either way.
I feel like he wants us to say food because the first one wasn't a food.
I'm going to go with that. Yeah, so it's a character.
Yeah, I think it's a character too.
Character, okay. Well, this ox was no enemy to the butcher who took his tail and made a delicious soup out of it, including the toasted rice and crushed peanuts.
Oh.
Banana blossom, eggplants, and string beans round out the soup, giving it an interesting texture.
That could not have been a bigger swerve.
Have you had that dish?
I've had variations of oxtail soup, but not this specific one.
Oh. Well, let's keep going.
Number three, Mongo.
Oh, Mongo?
M-O-N-G-O.
That's a character.
Yeah, it's got to be a character.
You guys are right. Mongo is a sword and shield carrying member of the Ring of Five, a terrorist group in the cross-platform game Shinobi.
So we're 2 for 3.
Are you sure he's not from Blazing Saddles, the video game? Because that's what I thought.
Was there a Blazing Saddles video game?
Yeah, it came out in a double pack with Scottie Pippen's Puzzle Challenge.
Oh, yeah. That old gym. All right, number four. Chokina. Chokkinna. Chokkinna.
Chokkinna.
Chokkinna.
I think it's a character.
I think it's food.
We'll go with food because last time we went with my 50-50. Yeah.
Well, guys, Chokkinna is a close associate of Jonkin the Great. He's a mini-boss in the Sega Master System game Alex Kidd in Miracle World.
So we're two for four now?
Yep. Number okay. five, Bagoot.
Bagoot.
How do you spell that?
B-A-G-U-T.
Is that the dead bird one? Not character. Not the dead bird character. The dead bird food.
Yeah, let's go with food.
Food, okay. Bagoot is a flower-shaped alien that attacks information with fellow Bagoots, and he's worth 200 points when killed in R-Type for the NES.
Oh. 2 for 5.
Number six, Turon.
I'm going to let Steven pick this one.
How do you spell it?
T-U-R-O-N.
Now, word of advice?
Yeah.
You might be trying to trick us into thinking it's Turok. So just heed that.
Well, no, because he would have to spell it correctly, though. Like, it would just...
Right, but I know, but...
Yeah, that's true.
If you spelled it correctly, it would be wrong.
I'm going to go with food, Alex. What is food?
Do you both agree with food?
What is food?
Yes, food.
Turon is Turok the Dinosaur Hunter's favorite sweet treat, a deep-fried banana wrapped
there
in
it is.
Rice paper.
Yes.
God.
Oh.
It was going to be like his brother or something.
I know.
Turok's favorite food. So, three.
Brisket, is that actually Turok's favorite food? Are you ad-libbing? Have you been taking sessions with the crowd?
Hey, I've played many a Turok and eaten many a Turon as Turok.
Yes, and?
Oh, boy. Yes, and? So, three for six.
All right, number seven, Kello, K-E-L-L-O.
Ooh.
Now, this might have the opposite effect, where we think it is Kellogg as a cereal company.
I think it's a character.
No, yeah, character.
Character? Kello are brown and green frogs, which are delicious, but in this one, they're in the NES game Adventure Island. Be careful. The brown, yes. Kello jumps.
We're over 500 here.
Number eight, Mami. M-A-M-I. Mami.
That's gotta be food.
Yeah, let's go with food.
Oh, they have the best Mami.
Mami is just the generic word for noodle soup.
There you go.
Nice.
Five for eight.
We're showing that our video game knowledge is kind of iffy, and so is our food knowledge.
Especially Asian food.
Yeah, we're double threat.
Number nine, Donjingi.
That's got to be a character, right?
Yeah, I would say so.
Okay, character.
Right. General Donjingi is the leader of the Obalon Army, an evil organization of crime in the TurboGrafx-16 game Gate of Thunder.
All right.
Number 10, Pineapple.
Ooh.
Did know this would be so hard. Hey. I think there's a character.
Yeah, I was going to say both.
No. He couldn't be that evil.
Pineapple? I'm pretty sure pineapple is a food.
But it's not like a Korean food or whatever he's talking about.
It's from, they get pineapple on islands.
Sure, but Korea's not an island.
Like, I can't grow a pineapple.
Was it Korea?
Pineapple.
What is the category again of food?
Filipino food.
Oh, Philippine. Oh, yeah, there are a lot of islands there. But it's not really like a tropical area. I'm going with character. I'm sorry. Steve Sugar.
I'm going with both.
Well, you have to choose one.
God damn it.
Both is not
one. Character.
All right. Pineapple is a delicacy in any culture, especially in Dig Dug, where it's worth 8,000 points.
Yeah!
Well, does that mean it's a food or video game thing?
It's a video game. So you got, let's see, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 out of 10.
All right.
Not bad.
It was shaky there in the middle, but we caught on to your little games.
I mean, to be honest, though, we were kind of guessing on all of them. I don't think we strongly knew a single one of those.
They were educated guesses.
All right. Thanks, gentlemen. Let's all take a bite of our balut and say sayonara to Obobo Adobo.
All right. Let's move on to the email portion of the show. Huel, did you receive any emails this week in your box?
I checked my box just a few hours ago and found one email.
Oh.
It is from ScooterRoad42.
Oh, Scooty.
So, Scooty writes...
Scoot, scoot.
Old Scooty Scoot writes, "Dearest YPB boys, I'm so proud of the new sign I made. I found the freshest piece of cardboard and found an unopened pack of Sharpies. So I had all the best tools to work with. This should really help my trade. In fact, a man with a gold tooth came up to me to donate some coins. A gold tooth! Can you believe it? It made me imagine what it would be like to have other body parts made of gold. Like a golden eye. Speaking of, What are your favorite video games developed by Rare? Hungrily yours, Scooterbutt 42.
What? How do you sign off? Hungrily yours?
Hungrily yours, yes.
Huh. Sounds like he has...
Hopefully that sign's working out for him.
Hungry eyes.
Ooh, hungry golden eyes.
Yeah. As long as he doesn't have a brown eye. Ah.
I feel like we need to respect his question here.
You can answer first, Brisket.
Well, I mean, I had to look up a list just to see what was going on. See here they have Donkey Kong Country under their repertoire.
Yes.
They have Banjo-Kazooie, which is a cult classic.
It's also the fabulous platformer.
Cult classic Conker's Bad Fur Day. There's Killer Instinct, Battletoads. Oh, RC Pro-Am. Yeah.
Yes.
Those guys.
They have quite the lineup.
Just scanning this list here, I would have to go with Donkey Kong Country.
Mm-hmm. Solid.
My favorite Rare game is probably the first stage of Battletoads.
Always go back to that.
Just that first stage.
That first stage is solid, man. As soon as, when you're falling down that shaft on your... When you're turning into a ball and going down that shaft, mm-hmm. that's pretty decent for a little while, but that first stage is solid.
Mm-hmm. And then it just gets ridiculous. It gets really goddamn hard. You know what? Is this, guys, is this a safe place? Is this
Of course, yes, please.
Can I share something?
Please share. No one else will hear this.
I am not crazy into Donkey Kong Country.
Okay.
It's okay. It's not bad, but I don't know.
It's not mind blowing or anything.
There's just something about it that I just could never get super into it.
Did you play it at the time? Is it just a timing thing?
No, I played it at the time. It's actually one of my little sister's favorite games. Like she wasn't much.
Oh, so
of a,
she has taste.
How dare you? What an attack.
I guess it's not a safe place.
I know. Clearly. I'm triggered. Now I'm triggered.
Shouldn't have said yes.
No, she actually wasn't into she was into some games here and there, but she liked Donkey Kong Country, Super Mario World, those kind of games. But I just could never get into it that much. Of the mini games Rare has done, to sound cliche, my favorite probably is GoldenEye, which mm-hmm. is pretty much, I don't know, I think it might be the perfect kind of a four-person, in-person shooter. So
it is hard to argue with, but I will try. Because
you're going to say Perfect Dark.
I am one of the Rare people. Oh, Rare people that think Perfect Dark is better. I think people get blinded by the James Bond thing.
They're blinded by James Bond, and also that it's kind of the original when it comes to console shooters.
Yeah,
but Perfect Dark is a better game.
I get it, and I think just more people played GoldenEye. Also, mm-hmm. like everyone seemed to have it. But then when Perfect Dark came out, they were like, "Oh, it's not a James Bond game," and like a lot less people bought it. I think.
Yeah,
but it's much more immersive. I mean, you can. The single player is a lot better, and you can actually have bots in the multiplayer, which makes it a lot more fun, I think. And just the weapons are better, like everything's better. Mm-hmm. But I think an underappreciated game that they did was called Blast Corps.
Oh yes,
yeah,
it was on N64 as well. Yeah, so you're driving different construction vehicles with the intention of blowing up things.
Well, let's start from the top of this story, okay? There's a nuclear missile on mm-hmm. a
oh, that's right. Okay, that's right. Yeah.
And
there is an actual story here.
For some reason, the guy like had a heart attack or something, and he like slumped over on top of the gas pedal.
It's being
this
transported.
Nuclear missile is just keeps driving. It drives over hills and mountains and through cities. Thing is, you don't want that missile to touch a building or it's going to explode. It's going to cause a nuclear holocaust everywhere.
So what you have to do,
instead of killing off millions of people, you can just turn into a giant robot and break the buildings down that are in its path so it can drive through the rubble.
Right. Safely.
No, I remember Blast Corps. That was a fun game, and I kind of wish they would come out with a sequel or something. But I'm looking on Wikipedia right now. I guess it's kind of a dormant series. There's no
I think there's just one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I will say there's only so much you can do with that concept. I mean, it is a
fun building's game. A lot.
Thing I loved about it is there's a lot of little secrets hidden throughout.
Yeah, there's all sorts of different things, like blowing up the right stuff would get you other fun things.
Well, the thing is, though, like a lot of people just buy SimCity every year and build up their city just so that they can destroy it.
That's true.
So I feel like there's kind of a market for this game. I mean, yes, this game exists, but it also came out 18 years ago. So I feel like we're due for another proper version. I imagine if we dig, and maybe I will dig between episodes, like they probably do have like a spiritual successor of some sort.
Well, there was a Rare collection that came out on the next gen systems, and Rare, it was part of it.
Rare Replay, which is, you know, we mentioned it during the RC Pro-Am show, kind of in passing, because you know, it's going to be a collection of games, that kind of thing. But Rare Replay apparently adds a whole bunch of good stuff. Like, it adds in save states, it adds in the ability to like pause to all the games, and I guess
right.
The most novel feature is that you can rewind in games, like go back 10 seconds to where you screwed up and replay from that point.
I guess that's what the replay part of it is. It's a double entendre.
Well,
entendre.
And I guess they also do things like, I don't know if they have interviews, but they have a lot of concept art and, you know, biographical info about the games, which
commentary tracks.
That I am a junkie for that kind of stuff, so I would absolutely watch that. Like,
well, Portal actually has commentary tracks.
Oh, does it really? I didn't realize that.
There's just like little orbs that if you walk into them, they start talking about the level or like the part you're at.
Oh, I never deep dived on that game enough, I guess.
Yeah. I think it was like the first concept of that in a video game.
I mean, that's kind of a smart idea.
It's basically them just jerking themselves off about how smart they are at level design.
Well, yeah. I would especially
like, you go in this portal, you come out this portal. Hey.
Well, what we really did here was we really thought about the
You know what I would really kill for is if they did one for like a Let's Play for Portal 2 with the voice actors from that game.
Right.
Like Steve Merchant and who's the other guy?
The guy you couldn't remember like 3 weeks ago.
It's J.K. Simons, right?
Yeah, J.K. Simons, exactly.
Or Simmons.
Don't you mean J.G. Simons?
I think it's Roddy Hard, I believe.
J.J.R. Simons.
Yes.
To tease a future episode. All right, I got one email. Brisket, I believe, unfortunately, you did not receive anything this week, correct?
My box remaineth barren.
Oh,
just like a Blast Corps too. Hey, fellas, this is show number 22 for you, which is the same number as Roger Clemens. What drug-based game did you like more, Altered Beast, Dope Wars, or Fallout 3? Sincerely, B. Bonds.
Interesting.
Well, there's kind of all over the map there, but...
I mean, I can't not say Fallout 3, but yeah. I couldn't call it specifically drug-based.
We were taking a lot of stim packs and getting your rataways.
But in the spirit of the question, I would have to say Dope Wars, of course.
Yeah. In Altered Beast, what do you do? What's the drug aspect of that one? I can't remember.
You have to alter your beast.
I don't know. I think when you collect certain power ups, you turn into a beast.
Which is like, altered.
So you just take a PCP. The little angel dust.
A lot of meth.
Pretty much. I kind of like Dope Wars, and I feel like I don't know, every couple of years I'll be like, oh, that's kind of a fun little trading game. I'll play that for an hour or two and then do something else.
I guess that's about what it's good for, but
It's actually strange that this emailer wrote about Fallout 3 of all games because I just started playing it, even though
it's about damn time.
Even though it came out like 8 years ago, it's pretty splendid.
I've berated you long enough.
Someone once described Skyrim to me as Fallout 3 with swords, and really Fallout 3 is like Skyrim with guns. So,
well, Fallout came first. Oh, okay. Yeah. I get it.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I don't know what came out first for PlayStation, like Oblivion or Fallout 3.
Oblivion.
Okay, I haven't played Oblivion either. So,
well, it's like Fallout 2,
with magic.
With magic.
I feel like I probably should just play like all of Bethesda's games.
I think it's not.
No, you really shouldn't.
No.
Oh, are there?
Once you've played Skyrim and Fallout 3, there's
it kind of spoils you. Like,
yeah.
if you have time to spare and dedication, you can play Morrowind, which is actually pretty good. But it's just a modern gamer, it's one of those painful games now.
See, I tried Morrowind is the third game, right?
Right.
I tried that when it came out, and I just was not a fan. Like, I couldn't. Like, I played Baldur's Gate 2, and that was really pressing it for me, like, as far as nerdy RPG stuff. Like, I like that kind of stuff, but that game was too much on the edge for me.
Yeah, I got the Fallout collection on Steam for, like, $8, and started playing the first one, the first Fallout, and it is rough.
Oh, yes, definitely. Does that game have graphics?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
All right,
I mean, barely. Yes.
You're thinking of Wasteland, which is the original Fallout,
okay,
by Interplay.
The precursor.
Yeah,
that one's a little bit more text based.
Previous cursor.
Well, I also, back in the day, I was a big fan of a series that has now kind of fallen into the abyss, which is Might and Magic, and it got up till I don't know game 6 or 7. They're still pretty good, but the first two games, I don't think they have graphics, if I remember correctly. It's mostly text-based. So, like that, nowadays, especially when it's hard for me to get my mind around that. So, but is New Vegas worth playing?
Oh, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
I would say so, yes.
And
I loved it.
And obviously Fallout 4 is coming out soon, and that...
Well, I can't tell you. It hasn't come out. I haven't really played it yet, so I can't tell you if it's good or not.
I don't have a PlayStation 4 yet, and I'm guessing that's probably going to be the game that pushes me to get one.
That's pretty much been my stance. I was waiting for next gen until Fallout came out.
Yeah. I mean, if for some reason it got delayed to the point where a Mass Effect game came out before it, Mass Effect might be the reason, but I'm guessing it's going to be Fallout is the reason I finally take the plunge. So.
Well, guys, I'm PC Master Race, and I'm just playing it day one. I don't have to buy any systems or anything.
Oh, boo. All right. Well, I think that's it for this week's show. Brisket, do you have any closing remarks here?
Sure. We ought to hold a funeral service of some kind. What a shame it is to bury our loved ones out in the wilderness, but it has to be.
Huel, what about you?
Just don't let morale slip out there. Or you'll be fired as trail captain.
On those uplifting notes to end this episode, here's a little snifferoo from our next classical themed game.
One ring to rule them all. You've got to rule them with the ring. Oh, don't rule them with the ring. Sauron has many spires, beasts, and birds.
I am not a conjurer of cheap tricks.
Beasts and birds.
Do they, Gandalf?
If you want him, come and claim him.
Merry Pippin!
Gandalf.
I'm all right. I was saved by a giant eagle.
Ching, ching.
You have my soul and my bow.
And my axe.
Yo, Frodo, what you doing wearing the ring? Oh, powerful jewelry, is that your new thing? I know it's hard when you're little more than 3 foot four. Little ass so close to the floor. Trying to leave the fellas from Gates of Mordor, the fellowship. I don't rap about bitches and hoes. I rap about witches and trolls. Passing up the words of the elf king. Loose from the wall, Frodo.
Don't wear the ring. Frodo, don't wear the ring. You'll never be the Lord of the Rings.
Dwarves, elves, human beings, don't know what it is, it's the Lord of the Rings.